Why is it empty up here? Why is it empty up here? It's because 48 junior high students and staff is on a retreat this weekend. So 48 students, that's really cool. For the whole weekend, Abby says, and Abby just came from there to lead worship, and she said God is really speaking and working with the students. So that's exciting. Middle school students, I guess it would be, not junior high, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. Yeah, that's what it is. Anyway, so really cool. So continue to pray for them. And we were praying for them in our little pre-service meeting and continue to do that. But what I'd like you to do, I'd like you to ask God to speak to you today. The next couple weeks is going to, this week and next week, we're going to get into the, I'm going to be easy on you today, okay? Easy on you to be in this service, a little harder towards the end of the service. But next week, I'm going to be really tough on you, okay? So if you... You can, like, stay home if you want, but that would be ridiculous. You'd miss an amazing time. But I want to share some things with you today. We're doing 2 Peter 1:3. And you know the verse 2 Peter 1:3? His divine power has given us... You shouldn't even have to look to see that, okay? I'm saying that all the time so we can know. His divine power has given us everything what? That we need for what? Life and godliness. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God Himself takes up residence in your life. And He says, listen, I am giving you, I am coming and indwelling you, and you have everything you need for a godly life. And so you got to remember that. But the second part of that is 1 Peter 1, 5-7. For this reason, what? You make every effort, okay? You make every effort to add these things to your life. Now, please don't understand that God just doesn't come and say, I'm going to save you and then I'm out of here, okay? He doesn't leave you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He gives you everything you need, but still He takes up residence in your life so He can help you to accomplish what His goal in life is for you to do, all right? He doesn't say, now you're on your own. So just remember, when I say now, His part is giving us everything we need, and your part is make every effort. No, you take all the strength that Christ has in you, and you just don't sit on a chair and say, God, if you want something to happen, just make it so. No, you get up, and you start going the direction God's called you with all your strength, okay? Or with all your might, or whatever. There's a verse about that, with all His strength that's so amazingly works in you. So it's you and God then. God doesn't save you and then leave you. He saves you and dwells you and says, now you and I are going to make a difference in this world. And some of us hang back and we don't want to do it and we're scared and it's not our personality. But God says, listen, I've given you everything you need. So what are you supposed to do with all this strength? 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So we're talking about brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, okay? Other fellow believers, okay? We are called to lay down our life for them. To lay down, well, I don't really want to do it. It's not my personality. I don't know if I can. God calls us to lay that down. Calls us to lay it down. Forget what you're comfortable with. We're not saved so we can have a nice little easy life. We can have that someday when we die and spend eternity with God. But right now, God says, are you ready to lay your life down for me? And see, that's kind of a next step in being a Christ follower. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then last week we were challenged to reflect Jesus Christ. When people see you, they don't see you and your personality. We're just doing the same thing Jesus did. We're a reflection of God's love. So when it calls to add brotherly kindness to your life, it's like, oh, I don't know what that is. Well, love them like Jesus did. What would Jesus do? As Jesus did, we're called to love people. Now, here's three habits. What I want to talk about, I'll probably get to just two of them today. Here's three habits that are helpful for developing brotherly kindness, okay? Three habits that are helpful to us for developing brotherly kindness. We've been talking about this, but now we're going into three habits that can do it, and I think these are really cool. And these apply to everybody. And some of you guys are already doing these. Some of you guys are in the process of in one of these or other. But three habits that are helpful for us to get along and to literally love other Christ followers, because you've been in churches where there was no love there before. You've been in churches where they're divided and stuff like that. And you have people in your life that are Christ followers that you're having struggle loving, all right? Because not all of it. We look so lovable on Sunday morning. Look around you. Look how lovable everybody looks. Don't they just look lovable and sweet and kind? But then they come into my office and they say, I want to tell you about my wife. I want to tell you about my husband. I want to tell you about my kids. And everything is not so comfy cozy. And I want to tell you about some of these other church members and stuff like that. And we know. So what I want to do, God expects us to love like Jesus did. To forgive before they even ask. But we'll get to that eventually. But God says, here's some easy habits to help develop brotherly kindness. I'm going to go slow because these are highly important. The first one is easy. And most of you guys are doing this. But they are so important. The first one is found in Acts 2:42. Acts 2:42. Talking about the early church. Right after the church was established and Jesus had just been taken back to heaven, here's the first key. Here's the first habit. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. You know what the early church did that helped them care for one another? They came to church. Okay? Well, that's a big deal, right? They came to church. And if you are interested in going, see, that's what this, if we get into 1 Peter, it talks about add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and all this kind of stuff. We're down at the, now you need to add mutual affection. And the way you get to love other brothers and sisters in Christ in this church and throughout the world, I believe, is the first step is come to church. Okay? They came. They came to church. They didn't just stay away from church. Some people have been hurt by churches, so they just stay away. Does that help their love for church members grow? For Christ followers grow? Christ followers hurt a lot of people. You know that? Shame on you all. And me all. We hurt a lot of people, intentionally sometimes, unintentionally sometimes, because we still struggle with evil and the flesh, and we're still pulling against Satan sometimes. But staying away from church does not draw you closer to people. That's like having a problem in your family and just walking away and leaving and never coming back. It's not going to solve the problem. God says, listen, I want you to love your believers in Christ. I want you to love them like I did. So the first thing God says is come and listen. Come is kind of like when you just... when you first start coming to church, you're kind of in neutral, okay? You're kind of, your life is in, your spiritual life is in, I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to listen to what they say, and I'm going to hear the Word of God. You're going to come, but you're kind of in neutral. Is this the place for me? Do they really preach the gospel? I'm not sure if I'm even saved. Is this what the Bible says? And you're coming, and you're hearing the Word of God. That's tremendous. It's like you started the car, all right? You started the car, and you're letting it run and letting it get idle, letting your defrosters defrost and do all that kind of stuff, unless you like have a garage or whatever. But you're starting your car, and it's kind of like the first step in loving other believers. Now, we'll get to loving the world in a couple weeks, but loving other believers is just put the car in neutral, okay? Putting the car in neutral is like come to church, okay? Just come to church. Don't stay away from church. Don't get out of the habit of going to church, even though it's so easy to do sometimes. Come to church, first step. Second step in that, you come and then you grow. Now, growing is like, okay, you push the clutch in, you know, if you know anything, you know, maybe you just put it in, push the one button and pull it into, but it's like putting it in first gear, okay? The second step, first is come, second one is grow. Listen to what they did in Acts 2, 46-47. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And that's because of a couple things we see in there. First thing in there is they went to church every day. So starting January 1st, I'm kidding, all right? They went as often as they could, okay? They weren't looking for excuses to stay away from church. Oh, I've had a hard week. I think I'll go to, you know, sleep, or whatever. Somebody's not feeling good. Somebody's crying, you know? Let's stay home from church because my kids are crying. No, they looked for reasons to come to church. They weren't just Sunday people. They were, I want to get, so if you are coming and you're what is the first one? If you're coming and you want to grow, the second stage is go to church. On a regular basis, go to church often when you can. Don't make excuses. These guys were coming every day, as often, whenever possible. Second one is they broke bread together. They broke bread together. They were eating in each other's homes, it says. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go eat in each other's homes, but when you go to eat in each other's homes, you see them often, you become friends with them. So I believe a second stage in growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ is become friends with the people that you hang out with. All right? You come to some of the banquets, you come to the different things, you sit with people. When you know, you get to know people. Some people come to church and they just want to sit there in neutral, get to know people. This is one of the things they did. The other thing they did, they had glad and sincere hearts. Glad hearts, all right? If your heart is glad, you're not usually like, okay. They came with, now, there's going to be some days you're going to come to church like that, all right? And you got to really be careful with that. But they had glad and sincere hearts. They weren't stick-in-the-mud type people. Do you ever see stick-in-the-mud type people? I don't know why it's stick-in-the-mud. But if you ever took a stick and stuck it in the mud, you know, if you stand there and watch that for a while, you know what it does? It goes. And after a while, it goes. There are Christians like that. Do you ever meet people like that? Hey, how you doing? Okay. You know? Glad to see you in church today.
Me too.
Glad and sincere hearts. We need to be so quick to laugh. We need to be so quick to enjoy things. We can cry and we can be hurt, but to have a glad heart. Some people come to church like you drag them to church, like it's the worst thing in the world they ever did. And I've been to some churches like that. This is not a church like that. We have goofy announcement leaders, people. You know? I know we have such a serious pastor, but we are supposed to enjoy ourselves in church. They came to church with glad and sincere hearts, okay? Now, when you say glad, some people say, well, that's fake if I'm not happy inside. Well, if you're just sad all the time, then you need some help, okay? But there's sometimes just if you allow yourself to smile, if you allow yourself to enjoy things, glad and sincere hearts. One thing about the sincere hearts, allow yourself to enjoy church. Now, that's almost like an oxymoron, to enjoy church in a lot of churches. Allow yourself to enjoy church. It is okay to enjoy church. It is okay to say, I'm so happy to be here. It's so cool to learn these things. Allow yourself to enjoy church. Because when you enjoy it, you're going to get more out of it. You're going to learn. You're going to grow a lot faster. And some of you say, well, I don't trust those Christians because I've been hurt here and here and here. Well, trust us again. You know, people are going to break your heart all the time, break your trust all the time in this world. And Christians sometimes aren't any different, but allow us to trust until we break that trust. And don't be so picky. I knew this day would come. I mean, just that's where you get over it. You know, you be the duck that we talked about last week. All right. But with glad and sincere hearts, there's nothing better than a group of people that have glad and sincere hearts. And praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Praising God. Did you ever? There are some people that, here's, with sincere hearts and praising God and being glad. Let me just tell you something. Allow yourself to sing. Allow yourself to sing. We had the moving section over here, okay? Back and forth. I thought everyone in that side was going to start swaying, you know? All right. Good to have you the whole way from Alaska. Yeah, it's warm down here, isn't it? I don't know. I just always think Alaska's cold, but I'm sure it's not all the time. It's cold, and then when it's not cold, it's a mosquito. But anyway, it's because I read Hatchet, you know. But where was it? Oh yeah, well, I forget what I was saying now. You guys distracted me. Jeez. All right, listen. Allow yourself, you know, we get this idea, junior hires are famous for this, I'm going to talk about them since they're away. You know, sometimes you see people that are too cool to smile. Something funny happens, they're like, uh-huh. And inside they're going, but they control it when it comes out, you know. And some adults are like that, you know. We can't be cool in church here, we can't have fun in church, so we put on this serious straight face. Enjoy church. When we sing, enjoy singing. I don't care what you sound like. Speak the words. Say the words. But allow yourself to enjoy it. We're somehow trained. We should be a little more Spanish, I think. We should be a little more Hispanic because they are, and different races and blacks, they allow themselves to enjoy things. Man, if it's a cool song and it moves me, I'm going to act like I'm moved, you know. But us, I almost said Greek. We're not Greek. They would even be better than Dutchmen. Oh, I'm laughing on the inside. Well, tell your face. This is so cool. Come to church and allow yourself to grow. I'm not saying you have to raise your hands and do all that kind of stuff, but just allow yourself to enjoy it. Let down your guard a little bit. Be a little emotional. If something's said, cry. If something's, you know, if it's sad, if it moves you, cry. And express these things. It's okay to do inside these walls. Now, you have an image at work and at school. That's different. That's dumb. But, you know, be who God made you to be here. And I love this church. They just seemed like they went to church as often as they could because they enjoyed being together. They were glad. They weren't sticking to muds. They were sincere. It wasn't fake joy. And they were praising God. That's the first step. I believe that's the first step in developing brotherly kindness. Allow yourself to do it. Now, I remember I put this smile and this sing in the second category. I'm glad some of you guys are just in the coming stage. And after today's service, you're going to be in the leaving stage, okay? But some of you guys are in the coming stage. I'm just going to check this out. I've heard about this place. It's a little strange, and things have been different. Our worship style is a little bit different, but, you know. And if you keep coming, just relax. Enjoy. Enjoy the just coming stage and the growing and hearing the Word of God. Promise we'll teach the Word of God. Promise we'll teach it with good doctrine. But then, as you get a little bit more comfortable and get to know people and sit around, just be yourself a little bit, okay? Be your good self, okay? Your bad self is going to be here, and we're going to speak to that, and we'll talk about that in a minute, because a lot of you guys come with bad stuff that's really hidden in there, things you're really struggling with. But in the meantime, come and grow. And what a great thing. Spend time with people and with people. So that's the first thing. Come and grow. That helps you develop brotherly kindness, okay? The reason is because you start to get to know brothers and sisters in Christ. You start to get to know other believers. You're not just standing there in the background watching. You're coming. You got to look at people and say when your birthday is and do all that stupid stuff that Vicky had us do and everything. And you got to look at people. You got to do things. And stupid in a good way. Yeah, stupid in a good way. The second thing that I really want to spend some time on today is the second step is commit and engage. You come, you learn a little bit. You start to grow, you grow in Christ, you're starting to understand that this is real stuff. But there comes a time when you need to commit to a body of believers. And I think the first stage of that is you commit to Jesus Christ. Listen to this, Hebrews 10:23-25, the first part of that, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful. You get to a point where you're just experiencing it, just tasting it, and it's just happening. And God says, listen, now that you come, now that you're starting to get to know people, you kind of the next step is I'd like you to commit, all right, to this. Committing is interesting, and I think one of the things, this is kind of like second gear. Your first gear, you're starting to go in slow. I'm going to smile. I'm going to start to sing some of the songs. I'm going to start to look at the words and see how unbelievably real they are. And so you're going to put it down into second gear now. I'm ready to go a little bit farther. Romans 12:1-2. Huge part of my testimony. Romans 12:1-2. A lot of you guys have memorized it. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And then don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and perfect and pleasing will. I was a Christian I got saved when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I don't know how old I was, but I remember saying that prayer with my mom sitting on the step between our living room and our dining room, and I remember asking Jesus. But, you know, from then on, I was kind of like in the grow stage, you know, which is a great stage to be in. But you got to come sometime where you stop growing and you start committing, and it was when I was a junior in high school. And I heard this passage taught about. But I was going through a period in my life when I was like doubting the whole is there a God and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm a Christian because my parents made me kind of, you know, and they expected of me. And so I went 6 months where I just had a really, really struggle in my junior year of high school. And I went to a meeting one time. And they taught in Romans 12:1-2. I beg you, God says, because God is merciful to present your bodies to God, a living sacrifice. And what I had done when I was young, I said, God, you know, behold, I stand at your door knocking. And I opened up the door of my life and said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. He came into my life, and I shut the door and put a key on it and said, good, I got God in my heart. I'm going to heaven and not hell, and I'm secure and all this kind of stuff. That's really cool. And then I kind of lived for God because I was supposed to. But in my junior year of high school, I believe I became a Christ follower that year. Not just a saved, I became a Christ follower that year. And I went down and knelt. You don't have to go down in front, no, but I went down in front at the church and knelt down. And I said, God, and I think what I did, I kind of took the key that I had thrown away, found it, opened up the door of my life and said, God, now I want you in my whole life, not just my heart. And I committed to God that I would live for Him. That I wouldn't just be saved and go to church. I'm ready for the next step. I choose to follow Christ. I choose to be a Christ follower, not just be saved and going to heaven. Now I want to see what God has for me. And I chose that day to commit my life to Jesus Christ. And that's a big step. Because that means I'm done. I'm not done growing, but I'm done just sitting here. I want to be engaged. I want to commit my life to God. So the first thing that I think is really important to do is for a lot of church people to come to the point where they say, okay, I've listened long enough. I really believe that this is true. I believe these people are teaching the truth. I believe God's word is absolutely true. And I believe God wants me to do something more than just come and grow. And so, God, my first step that a lot of Christ followers should have is my first step is I commit my life to you because I want to live for you. I want to become a Christ follower. That is a huge next step. For a lot of people, that's a big deal. Where I give God my entire life, my mouth, my actions, and God, wherever you want to take me, that's where I'm going to go. God, my whole body is yours now. My life is yours now. So I think that's the next step. Commit. And then, once you commit to God, guess what happens? Then you're obligated to engage in what God is doing on this earth. Engage in what God... See, up till now, you come, and you smile, and you're happy, and you allow God to speak to you, and you grow, and then you commit to God, which is a private thing. God, I commit my life to you, but now all of a sudden, here's the hard part. You got to get up off the chair, and you got to engage. Now, God, I want to do what you have called me to do. Because God has saved us unto good works in Ephesians 1. God, I want to, or Ephesians 2. God, I want to now engage. And that's where a lot of people, a lot of Christ followers in churches, they come and they grow and they commit and then they sit. Now, I'm not saying anything wrong with sitting out there, and it's not that you should be up here, but what are you committing to? What are you engaging in? And I want to tell you some of the first and most important things to engage in. I'm not saying you got to go be a missionary. You got to sell all you have and give it to the poor. I'm not saying that. You are called to engage. Okay? You are called to engage in what God's doing. Okay, here's what it is. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Listen to this. This is good. And here's what I want you to do. Engage. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. And let us consider, here's, I think, one of the first things and the easiest ways to engage. Here it is. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now here's what he says. The day is approaching. He's talking about the end times, okay? And if you talk to a lot of people, we feel the end times is approaching, okay? You see it, the world, we talk about all the time, the world's getting worse and worse and worse. How much worse can it get before God says, enough is enough, okay? But here's what God asked you to do. This is one of the first steps, and the easiest steps of engaging is consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. If you're a cowboy, that's it sounds like, you know, jaggy things in your ribs, okay? Or if you're a horse, it sounds like that, all right? I don't know, anyway. Spur one another on. Okay, here's what God has called us to do as a body of believers in Christ. We're called not just to come, not just to commit, but to engage. Spur one another on. What spur one another on is inspire and motivate other people in their faith. That's one of the first things that we should be doing. Inspire and motivating other people in their faith. Sometimes that's by coming up front and sharing your testimony. Oh, I could never do that! Well, that's what God's asking you to do. God expects believers to be able to share their faith. Doesn't have to be eloquent, just teeny little things of what God's doing in your life. And every time someone shares their testimony, I'm thinking, wow, that encourages me that God spoke of this to me. Okay? And so you got to really think about this. Spur one another on. Motivate one another. Drive, push, pull. Okay? Sometimes you have to help someone move forward in their faith. Sometimes you pull them. Sometimes you drive them. Sometimes, I'm going to tell you how to do that in a minute. But it comes through encouragement. Not a whip, not jabbing them in the sides or something like that. It comes through encouragement. Okay? Before we were saved, before you got saved, you live according to three things in your life. You're living according to the world, the flesh, and Satan. The world, the flesh, and Satan. It's kind of like if you're in a tug of war, okay? And on one side of the rope is the world. Everything the world thinks is important, all the philosophy of the world, that's anything that's anti-God. It's the world and all the people around you telling them, live for this, live for this. You should do this and you should do that. That's the world. And then there's the flesh, and we really struggle with the flesh. The flesh is what wants you to look at pornography. The flesh is what wants to destroy you down. The flesh is like the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Oh, I need that, I need that, I need that. We're driven by the world, the flesh, and Satan. And behind it all is Satan, the absolute deceiver himself, who says, I am going to destroy your spiritual life. Okay? Because when you become saved, all of a sudden, in the meantime, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and there's you over here, and they're leading you around through life. But when you become saved, you turn around and you're walking this way, but you still struggle with the world, the flesh, and Satan, and the devil is still trying to pull you. It becomes a tug of war, but it is so difficult to pull against that. Because Satan has a huge grip on us, and the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, all these things are pulling on us. And it is really hard. You feel yourself tugging. Sometimes you take 10 steps backwards, one step forward, 10 steps backward. And you know what? What we need in the way God designed it, God didn't leave us to pull on our own, but what God uses is the church to help us. We are called to help each other. And what he says here is encourage one another daily, all the more as you see the day approaching. But Hebrews 3, the rest of that, Hebrews 3, 12 to 13, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. This is the power that we have of believers in Christ that are engaged. We are called to turn around and look at other believers and encourage them so they will not fall away from the Lord, so they will not get tired of pulling against sin and the flesh and the devil all their lives. We are called to come alongside of them, and that's how God helps them, because fellow believers with Christ come alongside them and help them to pull the weight of their past and the things that are pulling them down and the lust of the flesh and Satan and the devil wants to destroy them. And if we just sit and watch it happen because we don't want to engage because we're afraid of that, then you have a few Christians pulling against the world, the flesh, and the devil as hard as they can. And it is very difficult. And some people just give up. They've come, they've sat, they've committed, and after a while they're pulling so hard against Satan that say, it's just too hard. I'm so discouraged. No one notices me anymore. No one really cares in that church that they're so friendly because they smile, but no one really cares for me. And they just kind of turn away and slowly stay away from church and slowly become hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, the power of encouragement is huge. And I think one of the first things that every one of us can do when we engage is, I'm going to go to church and I am called to encourage people, and I'm going to look for opportunities to encourage. And it's just, that's what we got to do. The power of encouragement is amazing. I brought a rope. You were wondering what I was doing with this. Some people get so nervous. This is a cool rope. It's a heavy rope. We're going to play a little game of tug of war, okay? The first thing I need for this game of tug of war, I want Christy and Jenny and Vicky. I need you guys to come up here. All right. You guys are over here. Which one of you wants to be the world? Okay, Christy's the world. Such a worldly daughter. Okay. No. You are the flesh. Because... here, you come here. You're standing here, Jenny. You're the flesh, all right? Very good. I didn't even ask for volunteers. I just took them. Better get close, all right? Vicky, you're the devil.
Thank
because you're always making me do stuff. I didn't want to give any of those lovely ladies. So they are much more worldly and fleshly than you are, but you're just playing the devil, all right? Now, they're on one side of the tug of rope, all right? And I'm a non-believer, okay? And I'm holding on this. And so we're going through the word. Okay, you're going to start pulling on me when I count to three. Wait, when I count to three. Come over this way, all right? Okay, here's what it is. Before I became a Christ follower, the world, the flesh, and the devil were tugging on me. Go ahead, tug on me. And you know what I was doing? I was like, hey, I like this. This is comfortable. This is easy. That's good. This is easy. This is good. This is no problem, all right? And I just go along with it. But all of a sudden, one day, I start going to church because someone cares about me. Someone's looked at my problems. Someone's helped me out. And so now I'm a Christ follower. And as a Christ follower, I am opposed with Christ in me. I'm opposed to the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay? I'm opposed. I didn't want to call anybody else the devil. It's like, she isn't really. Okay? And so what happens is, I've chosen a different side. I have Christ in me. I'm forgiven for all the following them that I've done. But as a Christ follower, when I'm in church, I am still struggling because Satan doesn't say, oops, we lost him. Satan says, if I can trip him, Satan's purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10. Say, that's what he's going to do. So they don't give up. The world, does the world still affect Christ followers? I wish it didn't. Flesh doesn't affect Christ followers. The lust of the eyes, all that stuff, that doesn't affect Christ followers, does it? Yeah. The devil just kind of lets us go, right? No. They have, if they can trip me up, if they can pull me away from Christ, they don't lose me, they don't gain me in hell, I don't lose heaven. I just lose all the influence that I could be doing to other Christ followers. So as a Christ follower, when I become a new Christ follower, they want to get me out of church. They don't want me to come. They don't want me to engage. They don't want me to commit. So they're pulling on me again. Okay, here, you're going to pull on me now. I'm going the other way now. All right, pull hard. Rock up, they're women. All right. No, they're not. Okay, that's good. Shush. They can, one more, stay here one more time. All right, I'm embarrassed. I should have picked little women. That reminds me of a girl book, and Little Women. That's a good book, isn't it? Little Women by Louise May Alcott, or whatever. Is that who it was? Oh, good, I'm good. But excellent book. If you ever want to read an amazing, really cool book, you ladies, Little Women's good book. But anyway, so here I am. I'm in a struggle. I have my guilt from my past. Satan says, hey, you're not worthy. Satan says, you're not even worth it. And then people don't like you. They're just being nice to you because they're supposed to. You know, and you're still struggling with the flesh and looking at this and looking at that, and you still want to be like the world, and they're telling you in church not to, and Satan's pulling on us and pulling on us. You know what I need? You know what I need? I'm not going to lose my salvation. And see, God just doesn't say, hey, don't worry, I'll just, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but he just doesn't deliver us from all that garbage. He can't just snap us out of the world unless he takes us to heaven, which would be pretty good. But in the meantime, I'm on this earth and I'm struggling. All right, and I'm pulling as hard as I can pull. Don't pull, but I'm pulling as hard as I can pull to keep from following them. And I'm making some progress because, but you know what I need?
A sponsor
spoken by Celebrate Recovery. It's exactly what they do. I need encouraged by someone. Encouraged in someone who instill courage in me. I need you two husbands up here on my end of the rope. All right. So here comes some fellow believers, all right? Now the devil is really strong. She doesn't look like it. So I want the devil's son, come up here, devil's son. Yes. All right? Now, when I stand here, I can do all things through Christ, because he strengthened me with some fellow believers, right? Amen. Now guess what's going on? Because I got three sponsors or one sponsor. But even if I had one, it's better than by myself. And so what I need people to do is get up out of the seats at church, and I need people to come alongside of me. And when they see me struggling with my past, to encourage me, say, Satan, I know Satan's saying you're worthless and you're never forgiven, and how could God forgive you with that? But I have loving, gentle men like these guys. Well, like some people would be, all right? And as I'm struggling, God provides help for me and strength for me. God doesn't leave. He works through His believers. He works through committed believers that are willing to engage in my struggle with me. Now, gently. Let's gently pull. All right? I'm still pulling, but it's not near as hard as it could. That's good. Well, we'll stop before the devil or anybody else gets hurt. All right? Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that. You know what? Really, that is exactly what God intends for the believers. That's why it's so important for us to not just sit, because I need someone encouraging me along. Because Satan pulls with discouragement. He pulls with terminal diseases. He pulls by being alone in addiction. He pulls against your marriage. He's pulling against your parenting. He's pulling against you by saying you're too busy to go. And he's saying guilt, 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 guilt. And you're struggling because Satan will not let those things lie. And we need fellow believers that are committed and engaged, that have grown to the point they're willing to commit and have grown to the point where they're willing to engage to come alongside of me. Now, how exactly do they do that? I'm going to do the best I can to give you some examples of that. The illustration is, you see the difference? Three guys. Two of the guys would have made a difference. One of the guys, we'd have smeared them. All right? But alone, my manly island that I live on, that Satan has me convinced that I don't need anybody else. And I don't need to go to Bible studies. I don't need to get to know other believers. I'm good enough the way I am. It's a lie of Satan meant to take us to destroy our lives and keep us from being effective and helping somebody else or coming alongside of somebody else. And Satan is filling us with lies. Those people are all fake at church. This isn't godly because they smile. Here's let me give you some examples of, okay, so how do you just sit there and say, hey, Bob, encouragement be upon you. How do you encourage people? I'm just going to give you a teeny weeny little taste of what it is to be on this side of the rope with a lot of people. All right? Okay. Encouraging is spurring on. You know, do you see someone that looks like they're struggling or that is struggling? Can I help you? Is there anything that I can do for you? I know you just had the operation. I know these things are happening. Is there anything that I can do for you? I just care. I know there's kids running around back there, and that's all right. I'm glad to have them here. It's awesome to have them here, but just don't worry about that. Listen, I care. I care for you. You know what? I know you're struggling. Can I babysit for you? Can I just give you a day off and babysit for you? Do you know what that would mean to a mother that's pulling and pulling and pulling and no time off and all these responsibilities at home? Just to be able to say, can I babysit for you? You see, that's something a young believer can do. Can I babysit for you? Can I babysit sometimes? How about physically and verbally notice people? How about if you just notice people, recognize them? You walk into church and so many Christians are, I'm going to the coffee, I'm going to my chair. And you walk past people and we don't even look at them. Well, I don't even know them. Well, whose fault is that? Say hi. Smile. You know, we can do that. But a lot of people, once you come and get a little bit more comfortable, you know, you don't have to be a stick in the mud, then you can smile. That is part of being committed. Start to smile to people. Say hi to people. Strike up a conversation with them. Okay, notice people. How about you, there are a lot of people, these guys up here, the singers and the musicians and the sound people and the video people. Do you think they ever need encouraged? Especially this morning. Picture yourself sitting up there like Missy does, and it's not working. And some people say, you know, look up at her. Do you know what that feels like, being a video person? Like, it's not my fault! And they feel somehow like it is. Well, after service, find Missy and say, hey, Thanks for being up there and taking that flack. I just want you to know that almost all the time you do amazing. The sound people, just see them and thank them. Well, I would have to walk to the front of the church to do that. The guy that makes my sound happen, the people that make my sound happen, the people that put the words up here and all this kind of stuff. You know what? Guess where the sound and video people are right now. I'll bet you all know where they're at, right? And guess what's on that end of the stage? Stairs. And unless you're like old, you can do those stairs and just walk up and say, I just want to thank you guys. Well, you're not going to do it today because everyone's going to do it, right? Now no one will do it. Be everyone. So what? Oh, don't you hate when you get all kinds of encouragement? When's the last time you have thanked these guys get thanked a little more because they're up front? But think anybody ever ventures up them stairs to thank them? That's coming alongside. That's, I know you put in a lot of time. I know you come for practices. Thanks for doing it. That's helping them pull. It sounds small, but Christianity isn't big. And when the church does that, some people are pastors, some people are missionaries, some people have the public spots, but a lot of people, when's the last time you ever noticed the flowers when you come in the door on the counter? Probably not often because you always see the beautiful greeters there, all right? But you know, someone brings those flowers every Sunday. I have two ladies here that bring flowers every Sunday. When's the last time you ever found, who brings them flowers? Go ask Vicki, who brings them flowers? And just go thank them for bringing the flowers. I mean, that's encouragement. This is what God has called us to do, not huge things. Sit down and talk to people on your left and your right. And guess what? If no one's on your left and right, guess where somebody is? Unless you're on the back row. Behind you. Sit down and turn around because they're going to be looking at your back of your head and the bedhead part that wasn't combed right. So you might as well introduce yourself to them. And say, thank you for sitting behind me. I heard you sing, and it was terrible, but you were singing really cool. Or it was good. And I'm just encourage. Okay, we're talking encourage, all right? Go to stuff that's designed to help you grow. See, here's the go a little past the Sunday. You know, there are so many people, like the Christmas tea and stuff, they put so much time into those things. And the men's Bible study, ladies' Bible, they put so much time into them things. And Julie, when no one shows up, what's it feel like? It's like, oh. And Satan says, well, you weren't good enough and you didn't do a good program and no one really cares anyway. But when you go to things, that encourages people. Even if you don't say anything, it encourages people. Okay? Share growth stories from the front. Testimonies up here. Pray with somebody. Someone looks like they're having a struggle. Someone says, man, you know, my health is going, my knees are hurting or whatever. Well, try this sometime. Can I pray with you about it? Now. Right here in front of everybody? Well, pray quietly. Then people just think you fell asleep. But when someone cares enough to pray for you, if for one thing it helps them remember to pray for you later on, pray for somebody. Notice the cleaning. Notice the cleaning. Find out who the cleaning people are. Send them a gift for all they do. Send them a McDonald's gift card for a milkshake or something. Because they worked it off. They can have the calories, all right? These chairs get torn down after second service. Somebody sets them up. It's not me. People serve the church in amazing ways. Find Dale. Say thank you for doing this. I just really appreciate it. Hug a nursery worker. Do you appreciate nursery workers? Yeah? Hug them. At least thank them. You know where the nursery is? Some of you guys don't know, but you'll find out sooner or later. Out there. Go thank them. Hug them. Thank them for that. Volunteer to do something. Buy a gift for the preschool workers. I'm not sure if that's worse than nursery or not. All right? Buy a gift for Hannah sitting over there. You know, buy a gift for them. Find out who they are. Walk back and find out who they are. Ask Pastor Ronnie who they are. What a cool thing. See, these things are simple. I'm not even telling you the big spiritual ways. These things are huge, and we don't do them. We get all wrapped up in ourselves. Do these things. I'm not even going to tell you. I have to quit. I don't want to quit. But when a church gets involved in this kind of stuff, see, this is kind of like, maybe this is ministry skills, second stage. I do that as much as I can, but I can't get around to everybody. I can't do that. I can't encourage you as much as I could. But look for people when you come to church. Some of you are going to come, and you're going to say, that's tremendous. Love having you here. After about 20 years, you should be at the next stage, committing, or 2 years, or 1 year, a couple months, and then you commit. And the next stage should be fairly soon after that, I'm going to engage. And I'll tell you what, the first and easiest way to engage is not to get up and preach lessons or lead Bible studies. The first and easiest way to engage is encourage people. You all have mouths. You all can do it. And when you do it, understand what you are doing. You are instilling courage in someone that's in a role where Satan can destroy them. They could back out. And how many people have served in church so long and left their telephones on and all kinds of stuff like that for some... hope mine's off. And we've served in church and we've been in church so long, you get discouraged, nobody notices. Did you ever serve somewhere and no one noticed because it was behind? And after a while, you get discouraged, right? So if you get discouraged with that, what do you need? You need a fellow believer to instill more courage in you. And you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. As a church together, that makes a huge difference. I encourage you in a couple ways. One way, I was going to say come, but you're already here, okay? But grow. Listen, take it, and apply it to your life, and grow. The second thing is commit. I think some of you guys are at the stage where you need to come to the point where you say, God, I've listened enough, and God, I'm in. I'm fully in. We're not talking about joining the church, no. We're talking about saying, God, I'm fully in. I'm going to let you out of my heart, let you into my life. Here I am. And some of you guys are going to say, okay, I've committed, but I haven't known what to do. Encourage somebody. That's what the Bible says. Encourage them all the more as you see the day approaching. That's basically what God asks us to do as a church. Encourage people. Sometimes it's encouraging with physical acts of help. Sometimes it's encouraging them with just a smile, getting to know them. I have no idea, but it's not hard. It's against what Satan and the flesh and the devil want us to do. But it's not hard. So I really would like you to look at what stage of this you're in. And if you've already considered yourself committed, well, then you're going to move to the next stage. Get involved. Engage with what God's doing. Now, we're talking about fellow believers. We're not talking about unsaved people. We'll be there in a couple weeks. That's a whole different ballgame, which is just as important. But right now, we're looking at fellow believers, fellow Christ followers. Engage. Encourage. Get on that end of the rope and pull with all your might and pull them along. Spur them along. Shout for them. If you can't pull because of arthritis, then use your words. Come on, come on. The cheerleaders of fellow believers, be the cheerleaders. Don't dress like them, just be like them, okay? You can do this. Every one of you can do this. Every one of you fits into one of these categories. Let's be that kind of church. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your encouragement to us. Thank you that you didn't sit in the sidelines and just said, here's your part, go do it. You filled us and gave us the ability to do these things. And we think, I could never say some of those things. Every one of us can do some of those things. And that's what we're responsible for to do. Help us to encourage each other as a church. And together, we can pull until Satan and the flesh and the world seem like nothing because we have so many people pulling us in your direction. You're an amazing God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.